Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Into sound, a journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, wherever you all are. Welcome, Sound Bombing community. You know I'm always excited to hang out with you all because you all are some of the most amazing people that I know who are virtual friends. Well, actually, more than virtual friends, many of you all I talk to all the time. I just want to just take some time to say thank you. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for the comments that you put on all of social media. Thank you for the comments that you put on all the platforms. If you have not left a comment, please do so. We read them. My engineer, my producer, I read those comments. So thank you for the great things that you said. Some of the things you might not like, again, but I'm so grateful and honored. Welcome if you're new to the Sound Bombing community. We want to welcome you to one of the greatest virtual shows on the planet. And for my old bombers, thank you for being here. But for my new ones, you all don't know, we start out our show what I call the breath of life. We do our three breaths. And I'm sure if I could see my old crew, the bombers who've been here with me for some time, I'm sure they're already getting in their position. I'm going to get myself set. And what we do is we put our hands on our laps, our palms facing up in a position of receiving. We roll our shoulders back and we slowly close our eyes and everything is soft. Our face, our eyes, our jaw, everything is soft. And we start out with our three breaths. So I'll begin, inhale. We hold it for 3 seconds and then we exhale. Two more times, inhale. We hold it for 3 seconds and then we exhale. The third one, we go much, much deeper. So we inhale, making yourself really, really, really big. Then we hold it for 5 seconds, and then we exhale. And bombers, what do we call that? We call that the breath of life. And what I love about that, so many people say, Lamar, we are so grateful and honored that you start your show off with that, because quite often people are turning on, going to their iPad, iPhone, computer, however you listen to me in the car, and they say they love that we start out with our, what we call those, the breath of life. So thank you for being here. And as always, I'm not going to let you down because I am not that great, but the people that I bring on the show are amazing and you come on to listen to them. So let's get this started. Thank you all for tuning in. One of the greatest gifts as humans is the ability to choose how to live your life. The choice to be a parent or not, the choice to be a college educated student or choose an apprenticeship or entrepreneurship, or the choice to break rules by designing your own future. Sure, the benefits of making the right choices are immense, and the fulfilling of events are become better and better and better for yourselves. But how would you feel if you were forced to live a false life? Here's an example. You're being forced to learn how to be a hairstylist and make it your occupation. No, it's not your side hustle. Even worse, you are told to forget your loved ones and get married to someone you absolutely detest. Forget everything you've learned and loved, and instead make this your solo career and your relationship. The amount of anguish and physical pain you might feel is akin to someone taking a precious object or livelihood away from you. This could lead to anxiety, depression, self-doubt, and an overall spiral into a web of negativity. Yet there are people who are willingly or unwillingly to live their lives based on how society dictates and prefers how they should live. Well, you all know I'm an overcomer. I'm a persevere. I've always gone against the grain. And that's why we created this show. You see, I'm talking to people who want to do something different, who want to be bold and say, the hell with what you say. I want to live my life. So how do you do this? How do you fix it? I'm so glad that you asked me. How do you stop living a life of false identities and instead honor your own calling and belief? I'm so glad that you asked, because my next guest, Eric G. Reed, is going to answer all those questions. You're not going to put the pressure on me, because he's going to answer those questions. Who is Eric? I'm so glad that you asked. I love how you all talk back to me. I'm either you nosy or you just want to know. But let me tell you who he is. He's the founder of Success Life. So you already know what he's about. He's not the founder of Failure Life. He's the founder of Success Life, who helps people to design their lives to be the best. He's created these great tools and resources needed to be the best in your life and in your business, because his work is about being purpose-driven. Eric has mentored and coached thousands and thousands and thousands of professionals all over the globe, helping them to discover their passion, reignite their passion, and create goals to grow and master a life of success. His passion is to inspire, energize others to create the amazing changes in life. Business can be hard, we know. So he created Success Life Radio podcast to have these conversations with you. He's a certified professional coach. He hangs out with people like John Maxwell, Anthony Robbins, one of my mentors, Les Brown, Bob Proctor, he knows, Brian Tomei. This dude knows everybody. But what's cool is he is in the bomb shelter today. And at the end of the day, Eric wants you to know that you are worthy. Eric, brother, welcome back to Sound Bombing, man. How are you?
I am well, and thank you. Thank you for that breath of life.
Man, Eric, thank you. So some of you all are saying, well, welcome back. Eric is one of three people that we lost. He was lost in the virtual space. His show went to the universe. It was so powerful that somebody else stole it from us. And so this brother decided that, hey, Lamar, I want to come back. We had Eric on in May. So what that means is that our show has been growing, and I'm so grateful. Eric, let our listeners know where you're calling in from, and let them know how you're doing since the pandemic. Because since we talked in May, the pandemic has gone international like Beyonce, man.
Well, first, I am in Atlanta, Georgia, so just up the road from your friend Les Brown.
Yes.
And how has life been since the pandemic? You know, I have kids. So we had this no school, school, maybe school, summer long thing. But then I really had to make a shift, and it's what I've been working with businesses. I stopped basing decisions on the pandemic, like when this is over, when we're not wearing masks, when we're able to go off. I was like, okay, what would life look like without the pandemic? Okay, let's get about living it. Let's get about creating it. Let's get about doing it. Because we will find a common excuse at every opportunity to hold ourselves back. And the nice thing is, pandemic is such an easy one to catch into, and everybody supports you that it's like, I can't do it because of the pandemic. Oh yeah, I know what you mean. So we just went about acting cautiously and safely, but we created a life regardless.
Wow, created a life regardless. Two of my favorite words, Eric, is imagine and create. I have a line of clothes, a clothing line called the Ubuntu line. And Ubuntu means I am because we are. And I have this, it says I, there's an I, the I of Horus or I of Heru. And then under it, it's a word, create, period, pray, period. But creation to me has always been the closest things to the creator. However you call it, creator, source, God, Allah, Krishna, whatever you call it. I've always felt when one is in a period of creation, something beautiful is about to happen. What role does the word create or creation play in your life as a creator of content, as a creator of resources, as a creator, as a creative thinker? What role does the concept create work in your life?
I'm a basic, simple, stupid guy sometimes. And so when I look out my window, everything around me is in creation mode. trees, plants, bushes, animals. They're not like, ah, I think I'm going to take a day off today and just sit here. It's like they're always creating, they're always growing, they're always. And I thought, what gives me the right, under the same sun, same God, same divine, to choose not to create? I shouldn't be in, like, it just seemed really contradictory to me. Like, wait a minute, you were designed through creation. You were breathed into existence from creation. Who says you get to put a cork in it? And so for me, I feel it's my responsibility to be in creative mode, to always be creating, to always be looking for the next stretch.
So Eric, have you always been this way? Let's talk about Eric before the books, the podcast, the Tony Robbins, the Les Browns. Let's talk about Eric way before that. Were you always like that? And if so, where did that drive come from? If not, share your story with us about how you got to where you are right now.
I think we all are always in a creative space. I mean, the daydreams that say, I want a different job, I want a spouse, I want kids, we're creating that image, we're creating that idea. So for me, I think I was always creative, not always in the best of results. You know, the typical 10-year-old boy that breaks both his arms as he's trying to see how high he can climb in a tree. That had to be channeled, that had to be focused. And it was through coaches, it was through mentors, it was through mistakes and failures and failures and failures that I looked, I said, if I have the ability to create hardship in my life, don't I also have the ability to create abundance, joy, love, happiness, purpose? Okay, yes, but how? And that was like the shifting point. It was like, okay, clearly I know how to make mistakes and be a failure and get in trouble and all of those things that we do, but how do I begin to move that into a direction that benefits me, my family, my community? And that was the journey of really living more intentionally into my creative energy.
So how do you help people do that, Eric? Walk us through what those steps are like, because I know that there's somebody listening, because I have some of the most amazing listeners, audience members, who are quote unquote purpose driven. We're going to come back to that. How do you help people do that? But before you share the strategy on how you help people do that, how did you help yourself do it first? Because again, I think quite often people look at people like you and I, and I name some of the people that you get a chance to hang around, and they see all the stuff, you know, the stuff, you know, the tangible thing, but they don't see the sacrifice that comes along with that. So how did you do that for yourself? And then how do you then teach others to do the exact same thing so they don't have to then wait for us to help them do it?
I think for me, it really happened. There was a moment when it was done. I was done. I had hit the wall and I was like, you know, I'm done. I'm over. I'm sick of this. Why is my life suck? You know, why am I unemployed? Why am I living in this rinky-dink apartment? Why am I driving? I had a car at one point that it was in such bad shape that in order to clean the windshields, I had to reach out with a squirt bottle and spray it because the squirter thing didn't work. And this was in the winter in Minnesota, so I had to spill it with like a little bit of rubbing alcohol so it could stay clogged. So I'm driving down the street, squirting, trying to keep. I was like, what did I do to deserve that? Like, I really began to think that there was something broken in me, that I had been, like, I had made some karmic mistake, like something I had done that I couldn't quite pay off. So life was going to push against me until I had settled the debt. And then I sort of looked at people around me. I'm like, so why do they get to have it easy? Why do they get to have a good job, a good apartment, a good, like all of the external things? And that's when I started to really understand that who I see myself is who I become. And I had been playing that game of poor, pitiful me, my life sucks, I'm the worst thing in the world, nobody's ever going to give me a break. Like all of that had become so much of the rhythm of my life that everything around it responded to it, including my car with the busted down windshield stuff. And I said, wait a minute. And I tell my clients, anybody and everybody, every single day, you are worthy. Because forever, I used to believe that I wasn't worthy. I wasn't worthy of love, success, happiness, joy, equality, whatever. And it was like, who decided that? Like, who shit am I buying into that said that I'm not worthy?
Mm. Wow.
And as soon as I could begin to say, I'm not listening to your crap anymore, because I don't know who gave you that authority over my life. It was first in one way, you have to begin to build the wall. And that's not to wall you in, but to wall out the negative people, the negative voices, the untruths, the lies that are designed to trap you. And then in that silence, you connect to your center, you connect to your divine, you connect to whatever that higher voice is. And sometimes it's really quiet, really small.
When was your connecting point, or as Oprah called, the aha moment? Was it something that happened in your life that you said, I need to get my sugar, honey, iced tea together. I need to get my shit together because I can't go back to this. So I have to go forward. It's, you know, one person said, it might've been Les Brown said, if you fall down on your back, you can get up because you can look up. And so quite often, you know, we have that defining moment in our lives that shifts everything for us. When was that moment in your life?
I don't think there's ever a single moment of awareness. I think there's sort of like awareness growth. Mm. But I think the moment that sort of really paused me and said, okay, here's the decision point, was 23 years ago, I was given a diagnosis that I would only have 2.5, maybe 3 years left. The last year, they couldn't guarantee the quality of my life. In my typical foolishness, I was like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm buying a new car with a 5-year loan. The payments will be low and I won't be around to have to deal with it halfway through anyhow. Mm-hmm. But it really was at that moment. I said, if I'm going out, I'm taking everything I can with me. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing everything. I'm doing everything. I don't care if I run up, you know, a car bill. But it was really like I had been living everybody else's story, everybody else's image, everybody else's playbook. And that didn't keep me away from that diagnosis. It didn't keep me from that moment when the doctor said, you know, I can give you about 2 years. If we do everything right, we might get a third year, but I can't guarantee the quality of life. I was like, well, I'm doing this my way for at least the next 3 years. I mean, I'm not going to be around to pay the price of it. But it also let me tap into what I love. And I found the things that I really love, the things that I was passionate about, and the things that gave me joy. And I was like, hey, I've only got 3 years to do this. And 3 years turned into 5 years, and 5 years turned into 10 years, and now we're 20 years plus. They've removed the diagnosis. They basically said, you know, you're going to die when you get old. And I'm like, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're still here, because you still have a wealth of wisdom and knowledge and information that we need. Now, I am been known to be a habitual rule breaker. And I'm knowing you and reading about you, I think we're probably on the same team. Now, we're not talking about breaking in the cars. We're not talking about, you know, kidnapping Dr. Fauci to find out what the hell is really, really going on. Not that type of rule breaker. We're talking about getting to our purpose-driven life and success. In order for those things to happen, in order for us to get to our pinnacle of whatever that is, what rules have to be broken to get this done, to be sort of where the individuals that I named are in their lives right now?
I think one of the first rules you have to break is that there is no permanent record. Everybody told me there was like this permanent record. And so my entire life was about creating a perfect permanent record from elementary school through high school. And it was like, okay, rule number one, I don't care what's in the permanent record. And then the other things that I started to break through was like, I can't be a perfect son because I have two parents with two different sets of expectations. And I don't know who to be perfect for on which day. And I can't be a perfect brother because I have four sisters. And I can't be a perfect employee because I'm probably going to go through about 10 or 20 jobs really fast when I'm young and starting out. And so all of these ideas that I was chasing to be the ideal for somebody else, man, that got hard. And then it even became going into religious beliefs. It was like, I can't be the perfect Baptist, Methodist, Buddhist, Hinduist, spiritualist, because the people who are teaching me each have a different expectation. And so I said, how about if we just work on me being me? Like, let's see what that looks like. And if the divine God decides it's not good enough, I think he has a way of eliminating it. So we'll keep going forward.
So hence you decided to become a life coach, but you use a different term. You talk about success coaching. What is the difference between maybe life coaching and success coaching? And why did you create this? Why did you then decide to create this concept?
Because I had the image of success, the one that my dad, who worked 40 years for the same company and retired, mm-hmm. got his gold watch, had 2 years of vacation time in the bank.
That's like a Leave It to Beaver story, man. That sounds so.
It was. It was really that. He said, I don't have to go into work for 3 years and then they're going to have my retirement party after that.
Those days, we know, though, Eric, those days are long gone. That's why you and I work for ourselves. Those days are long gone. The allegiance that companies have to individuals, not even say they had allegiance then, but we know that they're long gone.
What was sad was, so here he was in his 60-ishes, and this was like the next phase of his life was to be on hold till he could retire, so to speak. And I thought, I think of all the things you missed in my life because you were banking those vacation days. I think of the fact that you never really had like all of the, and I was like, man, that doesn't work for me. I can't live that. And then I was trying to do it. And I realized that I was losing my family the same way. In some ways, my dad lost us. I was walking out the door and my son looked at me and he said, Dad, will you be, and he stopped. And I looked at him like, I'm listening. He's like, never mind. You're going to be at work. And so I started to get in the car and I went, you know, halfway to work and I was like, well, what does that mean? Like, I work so he can have, and I went through the dad list of, you know, they've got a house, they've got food, they've got nice things. He gets to be on the swim team and I'm at work and he's trying to make me feel guilty about being at work because of what? So I came home that night and was like, what was it? And he goes, it's not important. It's just something going on at school, but I know you have to go to work. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm chasing this corner office success thing and my life is being compromised. My life is being thrown away. So when I work with clients and we talk about success, success is living fully into the moment that you're present at. And so when I'm at work, I'm hard at work and there is nobody that will work. But when my kid says, come and play Lego, I'm hard at playing Lego. We're sitting on the side of the pool or doing the things. I'm trying to make that moment a success, not a moment in the future, my success.
I love that. And I love the fact that you talked about, you talked about a story about your dad. I'm sure as you're working with your clients, you hear stories a lot. And I want to sort of park right there, for example, because I created a show called The Shortcut Show, which is a storytelling series, in particular geared towards people of color who have these very different stories from other cultures, but even though those stories are very similar. As humans, we are natural storytellers. So we create narratives to move us into or through the moments of life. With that being said, do you believe that we are defined by the stories if we tell ourselves? If so, then how do we change the stories that we tell ourselves? You sort of alluded to this earlier about the things that are coming to our minds over and over again. So how do we then change the stories that we tell ourselves? And what's the importance of storytelling?
Well, storytelling is critical. Storytelling is the way since, for all of mankind, that history has been told and lives have been changed. I work with clients who are becoming influencers and I say, there's a story that you need to tap into. There's a story that's gonna connect and influence you to other people in a way that only you can do. Now, it's not the story of your life, but it is a story in your life. And as long as you can recognize that that story served a purpose for you then, now, and in the future, go ahead and repeat it, but you don't have to relive it. And so when I work with individuals, I'll say, that story doesn't define the whole story, just like a chapter in a book doesn't tell the whole book. And so often I'll work with somebody, I'm like, what is your story? What is a story that helps me to understand who you are, where you've come from, what you've created. And how can you use that to tap into something to me that I can then join with you, and together we can create multiplicable change? And I think as influencers, we've got to have a pocket of stories. And that's what I work with people on, is creating that pocket full of stories so that when they're talking to a youth, they can say, you know what, when I used to sit at the dinner table, my mother used to quiz me and I would break down in tears because I was stupid. I couldn't tell you which witch was which, and if she quizzed me, but here's what I learned. That didn't figure, and using that story, all of a sudden a youth is like, man, hands up, I hear you.
Well, Eric, what about those stories that we keep telling over and over and over and over that aren't true? They were true. They might have been true at that moment, or they might not have been true at all. Or the stories that are imposed upon us. Give you an example, story as a person of color, that there are more African Americans in jail, so that's what's going to happen to you. There are more people of color who are dying from COVID, so that's what I'm going to. So you have some stories that are imposed upon us. And then there's some stories that we've created in our mind. So you talked about the importance of stories, but how do you help your clients, or how do you help my listeners sort of shift those stories that they no longer want to tell over and over again?
Well, first, if you don't know where you're going, a story will keep you where you're at. So you need to have a vision for your life, for your business, for your family, for whatever it is. And then when you hear that story, you're like, okay, how does that story serve me in this vision that I've created? So if the story is that men of color typically end up in jail at exponentially higher rate than other minority groups or other male populations, great. How does that information serve me in creating this podcast, creating the story? Okay, it serves as a reference point of divergence for me by saying, I could have statistically ended up here. However, I made conscious choices to write my story, and now I sit receiving a Pulitzer Prize in literature. We have to recognize the story is a placeholder for us to make a decision from. And if you don't know where you're going, you'll get stuck in that placeholder. But if you're able to say, you know what? COVID is dramatically impacting minorities at a different rate. Why? Well, we could go into the research. However, how does that serve me as a mother raising four children?
And I think that those are the... Go ahead, finish
it. I was going to say, you know what? It reminds me that as a person of minority services, or maybe a mother of minority color, I need to be more aware that our population is not served the same way, and that they're not as in tune with the healthcare professionals. So there might be a higher rate of infection for my children. So therefore, I'm going to do this, this, and this.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on. And I'm so glad that, you know, things happen for a reason. And I'm not glad that we lost your interview, but it's right now we're at a different point. And it gave me a little more time to think about not only just engaging you, but engaging my listeners. And one of the things that I know from all of us, and I told you, today I just read a piece in A Course in Miracles about, basically it said, you know, get out of your way. You're getting in your way of being successful. You're getting in your way of being happy. It didn't say success, said happy, because success can, there's a connection with that. But I think that these stories we keep telling ourselves over and over and over again, and it's not just people of color, it's women, it's LGBTQ+, it's poor people, it's rich people. We keep telling these stories over and over again, and then we start to live those stories. But what I do know, as a life coach, as a success life coach, you get a chance to be around some successful people. And I believe that success leaves clues. If that is true, what do all successful people know or have in common that maybe non-successful people do? No.
And that's really, I just taught a lesson out of it, so I wish I had my notes handy, but one of them is always vision. They always have a plan for where they're going. And it's often written down in multiple places. The other one is they have a commitment to failure, that they understand that they're gonna fail their way to success instead of arrive at success. So they're committed to making failure part of the process. Another one is often accountability. They're not afraid to speak their vision to a group of individuals so that that group of individuals can stand alongside them and both hold them accountable and encourage them. One of the other ones is often they're not people who will get caught up in a moment because they're thinking bigger. Like, this event is important. However, in the arc of all the events that are going to occur between here and here, it's small. And then there's other characteristics, but over and over again, you'll hear they have a vision. And that's not like some abstract, you know, pie in the sky dream board kind of thing. They have a very clear vision that they've counted back to each event in their life leading up to it.
So what about people who are already on the right path, quote unquote, successful? You know, what about people who are already doing great things in their lives? Would they need a success coach like you? And if so, what are some things that you would engage, what are some strategies that you would use to then engage them? They don't have a lot of the same issues that maybe some of the other people, but they want to be engaged more to continue growing. What are some things? What are some things you provide them with? Strategies.
It's funny because I had he's a multi millionaire. So clearly somebody that, you know, doesn't fly commercial, and
he won't be sitting next to me on the plane. Well, I won't be sitting next to anybody.
I'll be sitting next to him anytime on his plane. And he came to me and he said, "I feel like I need you." And I'm like, you know, and again, you're a little struck because it's like, really, wow, why? And he's like, "I just don't feel connected to my life." I was like, what do you mean you don't like, and then the coaching session, I'm doing these things and I'm creating this wealth and I'm doing, but it doesn't, I'm not feeling a legacy building inside of me. And I think when you talk about people being successful, there's like this mode from survival to success to significant. And it's when we begin to become aware that we're in a position of safety or success that we start to hunger for significance. Because we have the tools and the resource, both physical and emotional and spiritual, to begin to say, what would it look like to live a significant life? To be able to lean all the way into who I can be and what I can do in this world.
Yo, you just blew me away with that, man. Success, survival, and I think you said significant.
Survival to success is a normal struggle for someone. Wow. And then we hit success and we hang out there for a year and we're like, you know, we got the car, we got the house. Our vacation is a week longer than everybody else in the office. And then we start to go, but this isn't enough because we're creative beings. And when we stop creating, we get hungry. And that's where we move to significance.
I cannot think of the title of the author of the book, but the theme was you're more than enough. You're more than enough. And quite often, many of us are chasing. It's the difference between joy and happiness. You know, joy is like a part of you, but happiness comes with, I'm happy I bought a car. I'm happy I got a new book. I'm happy that my book is at the top of the Amazon list, so bestseller. But joy is something that's just a state that's always around you. And that's sort of the feeling that we want. So when you said that, it just blew me away. So Eric, how can our listeners get in contact with you if they want to be, you know, be one of your clients? And if they want to check out your podcast as well, you know, let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you.
So the easiest, it's Eric G. Reed, R-E-I-D. That's across all social media platforms. And then successlife.com. Mm-hmm. So as in, it's your life, your terms, your success.
Wow. What do you enjoy about being a success life coach? What brings you the greatest joy with the work that you do?
You know, there's that moment when you hear a client just take that deep breath, the one that they've never really taken because they haven't felt completely safe. And after that breath, you know, everything's about to change for them. And when I hear that breath, I'm like, this is it. They just stepped over the line into understanding all that they can be.
I love that, man. Eric, thank you for joining me in the Bomb Shelter, but you cannot leave right now. I want to keep engaging you. This is my favorite part of the show. It is called the Super Bomb Questions. And these are some questions that my listeners They want to know a little more about you. They know how deep you can be. They follow some of your stuff, but they don't know these other things that I'm about to ask you. So are you ready for the super bomb questions, Eric?
All right, I'm ready. Bring it.
So here we go. What's your favorite word?
Oh, easily imagine.
What is your favorite quote or scripture Bible verse or scripture verse?
I think my favorite quote overall is imagine the possibilities.
I love that, man. Imagine the possibilities. What's your superpower?
My intuitive listening.
What's your spirit? I'll go ahead, finish your statement.
I was going to say, I hear what other people should be hearing.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to that. What's your superpower?
My intuitive listening.
What's your spirit animal?
I don't know. Changes every day. My family would think a sloth because I was like...
A sloth. I love that. What brings you to tears of joy?
Somebody that knows that they are worthy. They can really sit with that and be happy.
What brings you to tears of sorrow?
Somebody that doesn't see all the abundance that lives within them.
What is the book or books that you've given most as a gift and why?
Oof. One of my favorite business books is The Promise of a Pencil. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, read it. And then, man, if you can see my bookshelf, the other one, probably Wallace D. Waddles collection.
Okay. Walk us through your morning routine. What do you typically do outside of the biological stuff, the other things that you do?
Yeah, the biological stuff at my age, yeah. I typically get up and I do about a 20 or 30 minute yoga stretching thing because I got to get my body engaged. And then I will lean into about 20 minutes of just silence, listening in, and then reading and then writing. So it's 20-20-20-20.
Love that. If you were in the Mr. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
Talking.
Well, we appreciate you talking and hanging out with us. I told you, Sound Bombers, that Eric G. Reed was going to bring a wealth of information to Success Life Coach. Check him out. Go to his podcast. You know, go to his website. You know, definitely lock in with him to be one of his clients. Eric, we appreciate you joining us today, man. I'm so glad that we got you back in the studio because I know how busy your life is. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me back. And thank you, Sound Bombers, for being with us.
Yeah. And I also want to thank my engineer, my Haitian brother, Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klimpaka, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Go to my website, drlds.com, if you want to know more about me. Pick up some of my merchandise. You've been amazing. And as always, believe something wonderful is about to happen. But some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. Thanks for tuning in. And do something for someone other than yourself today. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.